Welcome to the Leon Fontaine Podcast, Senior Pastor of Springs Church and CEO of Miracle Channel. We hope you enjoy today's message.
Good morning. How are you today? It is so good to be at God's house, God's people. We want to welcome everyone else joining us by television. It's so good to have all the other campuses with us. Today's Sunday. My days blur sometimes. You find the same problem? So the other night, a couple of us came by to watch all your young people on Friday night, and they had all this stuff planned, and it was just amazing. If your teenagers don't attend our youth group, I mean, they are breaking records every Friday for the last month or so, and it was amazing to see that place start packing out as never before and serving God and worshiping and bringing friends out. Church is so much more than just the service that you're sitting in today. And sometimes through the big screens, even more in the future, we're going to get a chance to report to you all that is taking place from campus to ministries to age-specific and all the things that are going on as we reach out and help people. Today, I want to share with you a phenomenal message. It's so purposeful today and so misunderstood. So as we go through some of these points, listen carefully and let God speak to your heart. Father, help me today to speak. Let the power of Holy Spirit touch each person. Let each person, Father, be guided in a direction. Let them wake up from maybe just the lethargy of just giving in to what goes on around them. And let something unique take place, I pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. A little while ago, I was invited to join one of our grand chiefs here in Canada for a meal. Now, the word grand chief is a very important title. It respects some of the greatest leaders across Canada who work with our First Nations. So he had voiced some interest in getting together with me to talk about leadership and to talk about some of the things that I write columns about and different papers on leadership and things. So while eating, he began to share with me how brokenhearted he was about what is going on in some of the northern areas and reserves where suicide is at an all-time high like we've never seen it before, where beautiful young men and women are taking their own lives with no hope. And as he began to just share with me clearly, he began to talk about something that was very interesting to me. He began to talk about the spirit world. He shared with me how that he was an Ojibwe medicine man and that he was a drum player, that he would take his drum to different of the reserves that he was working with, and when he played his drum, it would drive the evil spirits away. It was interesting that he noticed and he recognized there's something going on in the spirit realm that is taking people's lives. He shared how that he was one of the few that were left, to his knowledge, of a pipe smoking the pipe, and I don't understand all that he shared, but as he blew to the four winds, and it had to do with controlling the spirit realm. He knew that something was going on amongst their people that was causing death, that was not pretty, and it wasn't just something that was physical, but there's something going on that is spirit-forced. When he got down, I began to share with him the things I had learned over the decades of pastoring and dealing with people in all sorts of crises. And I affirmed him that it is definitely a spirit world problem. And I began to share with him how Holy Spirit and how God's Word had prepared me and taught me to deal with the spirit world in people's crises. Lives. I shared with them attempts on my life. I shared with them where the enemy comes against us financially, how he would try to upset the Church of Jesus Christ. Has always been that way for 2,000 years. There will be a constant bombardment against the Church of Jesus Christ. As I shared with him how I would handle and deal with spirit attacks, with things that go on in the spirit realm, he grew very quiet. He listened to me for a good 25 to 30 minutes. When our time was up, I didn't preach at him. I just shared my heart as a leader of helping people to get through the seasons in their world that is trying to destroy them. And he looks at me and he says, I'd like to get together again. He said, I'd like you to talk to me about Jesus. And I looked at him and I thought, this is too easy. He said, I've heard that he is the king of the spirit world, and I want to know more about this. As Christians, we have an authority and we have an understanding of the spirit world that is not outlined in any other book. There are many books today on witchcraft, Satanism, many books about astral projection, the reading of futures, mediums, speaking with the dead, all sorts of things that are out there, and they all profess to be experts. I have sat down with many of them, and spoken. I've had many of them come against me. I'll never forget just one of our services where I got done my message and the end, and as I stepped down, a man walked up to me dressed in black with white makeup on his face, his hair, so he could look as much like a demon as he could, is what it looked like, the way he had designed himself out. And he walked up to me and informed me he was filled with Satan, that he was going to kill me. And I looked at him and I just started to laugh. He wasn't expecting that response. And I said, dude, you don't know you're serving a loser, do you? He had never been talked to this way before. He'd been used to, according to him, pastors getting wide-eyed and running and worried and because this guy is full of the spirit of the devil or whatever. And I started to laugh. I said, you're serving the servant. He's just a little old angel that was designed to serve God, and all angels now serve God's people. Dude, I serve Jesus Christ, the King of Kings. You couldn't touch me. There's a snowball hope in hell. His eyes got this big, and I've never heard anyone talk this way. I said, why did you ever give yourself over to him? He said, because I prayed to Jesus, and I prayed to God, and nothing happened, and everyone talked as though the big bad devil was so powerful. So he said, I just thought, if he's that powerful, what am I doing worshiping God? I'll switch over to the guy who's really got the power. And I thought, Christians need to shut their mouths and at least get a good revelation of who it is they serve and stop thinking the devil's so powerful and that the spirit world out there is so in awe. He gave his life to Christ right there, but only after God healed his 2-year-old daughter who hadn't walked in 2 years in front of about 100 people at our prayer meeting that day, and gave his life to Jesus when he realized where the true power is. There's something missing in Christianity today that I've noticed as I travel in much, not all, much. The third world is very, you know, my friends and pastors and missionaries and evangelists and prophets and apostles that I know who work in the third world are very aware of the spirit battle that goes on. But much of my friends in the first world are very unaware because we will do things to, our society has a way of locking up or keeping at bay those who have truly been troubled from the spirit realm. And so today I want to talk about praying in the Spirit. I want to talk to you about praying in the Spirit. It's different than praying. I want to talk to you about praying in the Spirit. Praying, if you will, with Spirit. Praying with Holy Spirit directed prayer. In Acts chapter 19 and verse 20, it says very clearly that the word of God grew mightily and it prevailed. Just leave that verse up there for a little while, if you would. This verse is paramount. It is one of the keys to explaining to us why the miraculous and why the early church took so many cities for God. They literally checkmated, checkered, if you would, move by move from city to city, and they took every city that they went into. Literally, it says, and what grew mightily wasn't a person's reputation. It wasn't the Apostle Paul that grew mightily. It wasn't his brand that grew mightily. It wasn't his team of people who were the men that had TV shows. No. The Word of God is what grew mightily. Not a person's reputation. Not who was in charge. It's the Word. And you have to understand something. If you want to see change in your life, If you want to see change in the world that you live in, from your family to your business to your career, the Word of God must grow mightily in your life. And did you know that Holy Spirit's job, according to John 16, is to lead you into all truth? Who is the truth? Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life." Today, we don't find young men and young women like we did years ago, at least in the first world, speaking of Canada, America, Europe, you know, South Africa, Australia, all these countries that were started with biblical Judeo-Christian principles. We find this search. You know, if you walk down the bookshelves, and I always do, I'll take a look at the witchcraft sections, the Satanism sections, the, you know, understanding the spirit world sections. And I'll pick up a book once in a while. I never read it through word by word because I know it's foolish. It's ridiculous. I'll glance at how to interpret dreams, how to understand the spirit world. And it's one person thinking they're an expert because they're troubled. It's one person who has had problems in this realm or has, you know, done some kind of little woo thing, and they think now they understand the Word of God is so clear. It'll teach you the very setup of spirit beings and their purposes and the different kinds of spirit beings. It'll show you how to walk completely protected as a believer, to understand how to walk through everything in life and to dominate the dark world and to walk in life through Jesus Christ. But most people have looked at the Bible, because Christians have been so wimpy about it, so pathetic about it, that we talk as though, well, you know, I go to church, or we'll talk about things like they're not important and forget that the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, that has touched lives, that has, when you base a country on Judeo-Christian principles like the Bible teaches, those are the countries the whole world is trying to get to right now. Often when I'll speak with my friends, and I've got friends in different religions, you know, we can talk a lot about who believes what believes. I always just go back to, let's take a look over the centuries. Why is it that all of the countries that do not have Judeo-Christian principles founding in their foundation documents, in how they raise, why are they all trying to get into countries where Judeo-Christian principles founded the banking systems, founded the legal systems, founded the laws, gave rights to the women, gave rights to the children, gave rights to own property, protecting it in the bank? The government was there for the people, not for one ruling family or for one ruling person. Why is the whole world trying to get to a country where Judeo-Christian principles are what was used to develop the systems that are there? And they have to go silent at that spot because none of them want to be in their countries that they grew up in, even though they will fight for their religious beliefs but hate what those religious beliefs have done in their countries. Just a thought. Just a thought. We need to understand that there is a way to flex our spirit. Ever watch a guy flex his muscles? Bible talks about a man named Samson. They taught on him at youth. I was listening to Michaela preach there. And Samson was a man who was touched by the Spirit of God. And when situations would arise, it said that he would shake himself. It's an interesting thing. When you read Old Testament stories, they are often a little glimpse of what the future holds after the cross. Corinthians teaches us that. All of the stories in the Old Testament, though you cannot follow them point by point because they're under a different covenant or agreement, can be learned from in our lives. And it says that Samson would get into situations where he had to protect himself or God's people. He'd be tied up, and all of a sudden the Philistines would be upon him. And it says that he would shake himself, and the presence of God would come upon him, and he would lift the gates of a city and carry him up a hill, something an army couldn't do. He would grab the jawbone of an old donkey and kill over 1,000 soldiers on the spot who were trying to hurt him or God's people. Where does this kind of power, where does this enhancement come from? the prophet Elisha and Elijah both would report to the kings of their countries and tell them things like this: in 3 days through this valley will be soldiers coming to attack this city. Be ready in the ravines and in the areas above and take them out. And sure enough, his word to the hour, to the date, through the very valley that he said. How did he know the future? He was enhanced. Holy Spirit enhanced, and the Spirit of God upon him would guide him into future situations. This is a type and a shadow of a race of people that would one day walk the earth who were not defined by the color of their skin or by the languages that they grew up with. They would be defined by the Spirit of God that lived in their recreated spirit. They would be men and women who knew God as Savior and Lord. And it wasn't just enough to have their sins forgiven, but they would walk in an authority on this planet that would stun people and make them say things like, they've been with Jesus. We often talk about athletes. I remember playing football. I remember this one guy, we called him Clayton, that was his last name. This man would get into a football, and all of a sudden, if we were down and we only had seconds left to go, we knew you just get the ball to Clayton. It doesn't matter what goes on. Doesn't matter if they bust his arm on the way. He will get that ball across that finish line. That dude has got heart. That dude has got spirit. That's how we would talk about people. It's actually how we've looked at people all the way down through the ages. We've looked at soldiers. We looked at men and women who've gone through hell. And nothing pushes them back. Nothing makes them back down. And you go, that dude's got heart. That woman's got spirit. And it's something that comes from the Bible, because when the presence of God gets on people, they will walk through unheard of situations, and they will literally win and make it through situations because they are, and I'm going to use a different word to bug some people, but they're enhanced. There's something about them that you just go, what is it that sees them break through? What is it that makes their minds so strong that when other minds break down, the very battle that shuts one down invigorates the other with a sense of competition and battle that says, bring it on. What is the difference? Well, I have found in my life, the difference is in learning to exert my spirit. I've learned to exert my mind. I've learned to exert my body. But the thing that has changed my world forever was learning to exert my spirit where Holy Spirit is. And the Bible has some very clear ways to do it. I'm going to present it to you today. Some of you are very aware of what I'm going to talk about, but you've moved away from praying in the Spirit. It's dimmed in your life when it should have been something that you picked up. Others have never heard about it. And in the weeks that are ahead, we're going to begin to introduce you to something that'll totally change your life forever. It's a way to have the presence of God, the peace of God, the strength of God, not only in your mind and in your heart, but it flows off of you in a unique thing called prayer. Now, prayer is misunderstood. If you've been coming to this church for a while, you'll know that prayer is not a pathetic begging, pleading, and bugging God. Oh, God. Like some kind of little whipped puppy that needs to come begging God to do something. We have made prayer some of the most pathetic things that go on. Now, we know that in the midst of a battle or a crisis, that praying, everybody, they say in foxholes, there are no atheists. Let me give you a few verses, and we're going to run out of time before I get done. But something very bizarre is said in John 16 that I've not heard talked much about in the Christian world. It says Jesus is speaking, and in verse 23 he says, "And in that day you will ask me what? Nothing." There's coming a day, Jesus is saying, when you're going to ask me nothing. See, when the disciples wanted something, they went to Jesus. We need to feed 5,000, tell Jesus. We got a guy whose son is throwing himself and committing suicide. We can't seem to get this guy free. Go to Jesus. Jesus met every need. Jesus fed. Jesus calmed storms. Jesus determined direction. Jesus determined he had an evangelist ministry. And when he traveled, 12 men minimum went with him. And we know that as many as 70 to hundreds would travel with him as he would go to the countrysides and the beaches teaching and preaching. And so now he's saying something to his disciples in two of the very profound chapters of John, 14, 15, 16, are explaining Holy Spirit's role that was about to change. It was about to change from Jesus to Holy Spirit in the direction of the human beings on this planet, those who believe Jesus is Lord and Savior. And he says, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father, but in my name, he will give you. Until now, you've asked nothing. This was not something that was done before Jesus or even during Jesus. No one had ever asked for things in his name. They simply went to Jesus, and Jesus would do it. And he says, until now you have asked nothing in my name. Ask, and you will receive, that your joy may be full. These things I have spoken to you in figurative language. But the time is coming, Jesus says, when I will no longer speak to you with metaphors and similes and stories, is what he's talking about, figurative language. But I will tell you plainly about the Father. In that day, you will ask in my name. Now listen to this. This is challenging to many Christians. And I do not say to you that I shall pray for you. All right, let's stop at this for a minute. This will freak out a lot of people. Because we have verses that declare that Jesus is our intercessor and that he sits at the right hand of the Father, that he is praying for us. And so the teaching is, if Jesus is praying for you, you can chill out. You don't need to pray. Jesus himself is praying for you. But that's not what the word intercession there means. It is talking about what Jesus did on the cross, this intercessory standing of he stands and he's seated on the right hand of the Father representing the human race means that what he has done stands. But he is saying to his disciples here, I'm not telling you I'm going to be praying for you. Why is he telling them this? Why is this so important? Because God can do nothing on this planet except a person prays. It's something many denominations have found and taught and spoken, that without prayer, the authority of a human being speaking the word of God and the promises of God over a situation, without that, God's hands become tied. Jesus is saying, I'm not telling you I'm going to be praying for you. Up till now, you've been talking to me and I've been looking after you. I'm leaving. Holy Spirit's coming. He's going to guide you into all truth. You're going to use the name, my name. And when you use my name, you're going to go directly to the Father. You're going to have direct access to the throne of God, not to me as the human being / Son of God walking the planet. But because I sit beside my Father in this intercessory role of I have died for you, your sins are forgiven, no weapon, etc. And I am sitting here representing, at the right hand of God is a human body. Jesus is still in his human body there representing us. And this intercessory thing that he does is to completely hold these channels open. Who holds the channels open between a forgiven human being who knows Christ as Savior and Lord and God? You don't hold it open through your goodness. You don't hold it open because you live so right. It is those channels are held open by the ultimate sacrifice of Jesus Christ, who sits at the right hand of the Father and maintains open channels between you, a believer, and between the King of, between God of the universe. Jesus says, but I do not say to you that I shall pray the Father for you, for the Father himself loves you because you have loved me and have believed that I came forth from God. In Ephesians 5:14, it says, awake, sleeper. Today there will be many in this room who are asleep. I'm not talking about your mind. I'm not talking about your physical body. I'm talking about this drive that comes from deep inside of you that gives your life purpose, that fills you with a sense of awe for the God of the universe and what he does. I'm talking about an ability to know that because of what Jesus did on the cross for me, I'm forgiven and I'm empowered to live a life that overcomes everything that's thrown at me. This sense of victory that is not seen in most Christians. Most of us men would never give our lives to Jesus Christ or darken a church door if we continued to watch how Christians function. Christianity has been so feminized that it's all sweet little Jesus, give me a hug. Things like just take my burdens and words that men don't even respect. You know, well, I'll carry my own, thank you. Doesn't mean that we're proud. It just means that we've been raised as men to stand up and protect our wives, our families, get up and protect our children, our grandchildren. And we have not been told that we can protect them with a brilliant mind through wise decisions. We've been taught to protect them with our bodies, and we'll throw them in front of anything that tries to touch our families. We've just not been taught how to speak spirit words in a spirit world and to command attacks that don't take place in the physical world against the minds of our children and against the minds of our marriages and against our homes so that our generations have longevity to the 1,000th generation. Families are being destroyed. Marriages are being changed. Things are taking place. And us as men, we try to fight them with the wisdom that we've been taught, with our physical bodies and our energy that supports these women that we love and these kids that we have. And we've not been shown that in the spirit realm there is an authority that has been communicated in the Bible. There is a way to pray, a way to literally marinate in strength and in peace, and there is a way to speak words into situations. You know, authority is a very powerful thing. When a police officer stands in front of a semi-truck coming down the highway, he doesn't have the power to stop that semi. He has the authority to stop that semi. And if that semi does not stop for him and he's got a valid reason to stop it, he will call ahead and they'll do roadblocks. If they've got to put, you know, caterpillars across that freeway, they will eventually stop this guy because all of the power of the city, all of the power of Canada will stand behind one single officer of the law who's been given authority to protect us and look after us. This is called authority. The power is not just given to him. He's not got a bazooka in his holster that he pulls out if the semi doesn't stop. But I promise you, whatever it does take to stop it will come to his disposal very quickly if the authority he's been given is ignored. This is how the enemy understands spirit warfare, how he understands a born-again believer of God. There's a story in the Bible, and I'm talking fast, I'm out of time, where these brothers who were sons of a Jewish rabbi, of a religious figure, watched some of God's people walk into cities. And when they were attacked by troubled people, when troubled people, spiritually troubled people, would rise up and come against them, they, with a word, would say something like, hold your peace and be quiet. And bam, just shut the whole thing down. In one case, they were using this woman to tell people's fortunes. And she instantly became free from this harassing spirit. And they were so upset, they had him thrown in prison, bound hand and feet. There is an authority. There is a power that goes with being a Christian. It's not putting on a crazy show. It's not being charismaniac. It's not acting stupid in public. The Apostle Paul said something that we will talk about. He said, he who speaks in an unknown tongue speaks to God mysteries. He said, I thank my God I do this more than you all. We have no written incident of the Apostle Paul speaking in public, although we know there were worship times of magnifying him. We find that in his prayer time, in his quiet time, this one of the toughest men you'll ever read about, the Apostle Paul, a guy who was killed, history shows us, multiple times, whipped, beaten for the message that he felt to bring. He was an unstoppable force. And this man found something in his prayer time. This man found something in his quiet times that when he didn't know how to pray about the next city he was going to, Holy Spirit, who was in his recreated human spirit, would pray through him. and he would allow this time of prayer. I've told the story of, for years we've written a leadership column in the Calgary Sun, and a leader in the city there got a hold of me for lunch and said, so we met for lunch, and he looks at me and he says, "Can I just ask you one question?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Do you pray in tongues?" And I looked at him and I knew that some weirdo had really turned him off. And I said, "No, not like you're talking about." And he gave a sigh of relief, just, but I said, "But do you know how in some religions, like we know that Tibetan monks, proven, have a way of chanting and meditating, and they can sit in literally a frozen mountain stream and dry the wet clothes on their back. They can lower their blood pressure at will. They can lower their heart rate at will." You know, which people think, wow, but it just shows you the power of the mind over the physical body. I said, "You know how in meditation, like in Zen meditation, they're using it in professional sports? Hospitals like the great Mayo Clinic, Rochester Clinic, are teaching people post-surgery to meditate, to learn to quieten their minds, to center their minds to a place of peace. And that when the mind is brought to a place of peace, there's a substantially quickened healing time on surgeries and on those who have been diagnosed with diseases." And he was very aware of that. I said, "Like these things, those who have given their lives to Jesus Christ have been given as a gift, a prayer language. And when you learn to quietly, in your bedroom, quiet times, maybe your car, just to magnify him and to pray in this," the Bible calls it the Spirit, which we'll talk more about in the coming Sundays, "that you don't just become centered and find nothingness, find peace in your troubled world, but that you begin to take authority over the things that are going wrong in your world. And you begin to see the presence and the power of God changing you, changing the things around you. And this is something so precious to the born-again believer that it has been stamped out in much of Christianity, because it just sounds different. It just sounds a little woo, woo, woo." Yet today, people are as never before, rushing to anything spiritual. We've got mediums talking to the dead, so they say, on national television, and brilliant people in tears as they say, "I'm talking to your dead father, and he's saying this." It just stuns them. There's a world hungry for the movies that are going on today are so spiritual in nature. They used to be things like horror. Today, we're going back to Marvel, and everything's a Marvel comic, but it's always about a force or a power form that is not normal to the human race that people use to save the human race, and that evil men and women can use to attack. It's interesting how that in our art forms and our movie forms, everybody is aware of a spirit world. Yet in the Christian world, we remain quiet so we don't look like we're a little bit crazy. You know, I spent 7 years as a paramedic and training firemen in paramedic things. And it was very interesting to me how many police officers and paramedics that we would see things there was no explanation for. And the only way you could know it would be that there's a dark side to this world. There's an evil side to this world. It's the only way to explain the sick things you see on TV, sick things you see with shootings, a 17 dead in schools, or who would go into a grade 1 or 2 classroom and kill 30 or 40 kids. Where does this come from? It doesn't just come from someone's mind. People say, "Well, Leon, it's just the mind." You know, then why doesn't someone's mind just click off and they just start loving people and helping people? Why, when their mind clicks off, do they always kill, murder, and destroy people? If it's just the mind. No, there's a force out there we need to be aware of. Nothing to be afraid of. And our talk today is very introductory, but I will be speaking to you in the following Sundays about a force of power that I have found that over the last 37 years of pastoring has helped me to never lose my edge, never lose my passion, never lose the direction that I sense from God about where we're going. All of these things are not because I'm special. All of these things are simply because I've learned to listen. I've got Mickey Mouse ears. And you can have them too. Where you sense the direction of the presence of God. Where you sense what God is bringing into your world. Where you sense, you know, you talk to well-developed business people, or I really enjoy talking to police officers, because when you've talked to enough liars, you recognize truth. It's just a gut thing. They're firm believers in the gut. They'll look at someone and say, what's your take on this guy? Nobody can explain why. They just go, I think he's a liar. Yeah, me too. And they're sold just like that. Why? There's a sensitivity that comes when you repeatedly do things. Now, move that into the spirit world where the presence of God protects you and is with you and brings peace to you. And you will discover an ability that is there to sense and to know things and to be able to pray in a way that others have to pray with only what they know. But Romans 8 will unpack it and will show you that when you do not know how to pray, or what to pray for in the situations that are presenting themselves to you, in the situations that you're walking through right now, the Bible says the presence of God will flow through you in your prayer times, and you will speak words that are mysteries to you, but they will be the exact thing you need changed that you are totally unaware of. This is such a gift. The Bible in the New Testament talks about two gifts, and I'm going to close with this thought. There is a gift to those who are unsaved or who don't know Christ. The gift is salvation. Did you know there's a gift to believers? And this gift to believers is the infilling of the Spirit, an ability to not just be forgiven and to walk in peace and to go to heaven when you die, but the infilling of the Spirit is an ability to function for God in the business world, your family world, your financial world, your mental world, where so many people struggle today. 80% of the population of Canada at one time or the other will talk about times of deeper depression, that they could not find their way clear, but eventually it seemed to go away. There is a way for a believer to know the power of God. This power comes with a deep peace, a deep confidence, a deep ability to make wise choices. I can't wait for many of you who at one time learned to pray in the Spirit to start that back up. And I can't wait to help those who are new to the things of God to show you that it's not just a forgiveness of sins, this Christian life. There is a way like you can flex your muscles, like you can, flex your mind and begin to, and there's a way to begin to flex the Spirit of God within your human spirit. And it begins to look after the things outside of your five senses. And it's the most amazing thing. It's not crazy. It's not weird. I'll show you how I have learned to develop in this relationship, and how most have never seen my prayer time, my quiet time. But why is it so powerful? And why is God still doing incredible things here through Springs as we go to this planet in languages and television and all the things that are going on? Your personal life has already been touched by God. You just need to hear from Him now to follow it out. Father, thank you for this amazing church. Thank you for your word. Help me, Father, to teach on this in a way that is not religious and not weird, but in a way that brings such wisdom to this world that we live in. Guide the men and the women that are here. Guide us so that we will walk this planet as men and women of the cross, men and women who know God, and people will be drawn to the love, the power that only Jesus brings our lives. Every head bowed for just a moment. If you're here and you'd say, Leon, I don't know this Jesus as my Savior and Lord. When Jesus came to this planet to die on the cross for you, only Jesus is the way to God. He was very clear when he said that, because he's the one that died for you and took your sin. This salvation is a gift that nobody can earn. If God was to let you earn this gift of salvation, then you could become prideful. But because no man can earn it, no amount of cleaning up your life will bring God into your life. You come as messed up or as whatever you think you are. You come as you are, and then you receive a gift of forgiveness. This gift, humbly accepted, causes your spirit to be reborn. And instead of a spirit of fear or a nature of fear and sin, you become and you have a new nature, one of faith and one of peace and strength, of righteousness. Before I lead you in this incredible prayer, if you're here and you'd say, Leon, please include me in that prayer. Today, I need to get right with God. Would you slip up your hand all over the building and just wave it at me until I see it, then put it right back down. Just saying, Leon, yes, include me. Today, I'm giving my life to Jesus. All right, looking around right now, just hands up. Where are you? Say, yes, Leon, include me as I give my life to Christ. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. For those right now at our other campuses, there's a leader at the front who is looking for your hand. Jesus is in love with you. He cares about you. He wants your whole future, your whole world to change to one of strength, peace, love, confidence. But it's only through Christ. Quickly give them a wave till they see your hand, then put it right back down. Let's all pray with these amazing folks. Making this decision, the prayer goes like this. Just say, Dear God, I give you my life. Forgive me for every mistake, everything that I've done in my life that I'm not proud of. Forgive me. I give you my life. I make you my Lord and Savior. And I'm following you for the rest of my days. In Jesus' name. Amen. Welcome to the family of God. That's how powerful that is.
For more information on Leon and his teachings, visit leonfontaine.com.